Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the SDCC Fan Hotline is Will Leach, MLB.com. Will, thanks for coming on today.
Oh, please, a pleasure as always. I can't believe baseball is actually starting.
I know.
It's so nice to see.
It is very nice to see. The offseason seems to go by faster and faster every year, it seems like. But you had a very interesting article in terms of the preview of the National League West, some predictions, and you made a lot of Padre fans happy with your prediction. The Padres would finish with 86 wins, which is about a 16-game 16-plus on the win side from last year to this year. But I want to start, go down the order, and let's start with the top of the division. You got the Dodgers winning there. Obviously, they've added Betts. What was your main takeaway when it came to the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that was already stacked before Betts. In fact, I think that kind of speaks to where the Dodgers are right now, right? They can win 106 games last year, but if they lose in the NLDS, the year is a total failure. It actually speaks to how we consider the postseason now, how it's almost become of outside importance. So clearly, you know, they are all in every possible way this year. You know, they seem stacked. They're almost so stacked at several positions that they're going to have to make some transactions to kind of even it out a little bit. I think they tried to trade Jock Peterson already. So clearly, they're pretty stacked up across the board. Even before they were heavy favorites to win this division before they traded for Betts. So clearly, they're in a good spot now. But you know, when it comes to the Dodgers, you know, their season is going to rise or fall on what they do in the postseason, which I have to tell you is it's a hard thing to predict one way or the other, as you can see from last year. So, but I think clearly they're the class of the division.
No doubt about it. Now you can see Will Leach's article on MLB.com, and in this article, there's five burning questions for each of these teams. And the one thing you talked about in terms of the Dodgers is their bullpen. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Their bullpen has been an issue in the past. You know, they've ran into some problems. And frankly, the center of that really has been Kenley Jansen, who is still a good reliever. I don't think there's any question about that. But he's not what he was before, and they're kind of counting on him to be what they were before, what he was before. I think it's telling that they brought in Blake Treinen, who was again a good reliever who had kind of an off year last year, but again not the guy, not the stud they've kind of had. You know, when you look at a team like the Dodgers, they're a team that you kind of have to pick at a little bit to try to find kind of flaws of them. I think the bullpen is probably the closest you're going to come there. But again, they're so all into this year. We've seen teams at the deadline when they come up short on the bullpen, being able to find plenty of arms. If it's a problem for the Dodgers now, they'll do everything they can to address it this year.
Now, I'll save the Padres, I'll save the best for last in terms of San Diegans out here. So let's move to the Diamondbacks. Now, the Diamondbacks went out and they made some pretty significant moves. They bring in Madison Bumgarner. They bring in Sterling Marte. This is a team that surprisingly was in the wild card run to the very end. What was your takeaway from this squad?
Yeah, to me, you know, it's funny. I actually think the bigger move they made is Marte. Obviously, Bumgarner is exciting to get in. It's really going to take, I'm sure it'll take you guys several years to adjust to him being in the Diamondback uniform.
Yeah.
I think everyone kind of feels that way. But to me, you know, I they're not, he's being paid. He's being set up to maybe be their ace. I don't know. I feel like he is a veteran pitcher who's obviously proven in the postseason, but he was down a little bit. Last year was probably his weakest year. Was still a good year. He's still a good pitcher. But to me, the Diamondbacks, the fear with them, Marte was a big, big move for them. He came relatively late in the offseason. But I still feel like they had a lot of guys who overachieved a lot last year. The Diamondbacks were very kind of exciting. Put it this way, Christian Walker, you know, him replacing Paul Goldschmidt, he had a better year than Paul Goldschmidt last year without much of a track record for really that to be happening. I feel like you kind of need guys like him to have the year that they had. And also, look at Kettle Marte. He basically became a superstar last year. He's 25 years old. Is that who he is moving forward? If he is, the Diamondbacks are in really, really good shape. It stands to reason when you see that big of a jump in one season for not just him but a lot of other players. you wonder how sustainable it is. And listen, the Diamondbacks aren't a bad team, and they clearly have a very intelligent front office who's able to get the best out of these players. I do think, however, that there's a little bit of them for, to fall a little bit. You know, that last year almost was maybe more than they were expecting, and I think they smartly, like you want teams to do, kind of bought to make them itself better this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like they could fall back to earth a little bit this year.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question in terms of the Diamondbacks. They are kind of in that middle ground area. Do you think that if they're in it late that they'll make another move if need be to push themselves over to that next tier?
Yeah, I think if they've hung in long enough to be able to do that. Clearly they're invested in right now if they're bringing in Bumgarner and they're bringing in Marte. The question is whether they're going to be able to get to that point. You know, I think the Diamondbacks actually earn a considerable bit of respect for not really bottoming out.
No doubt.
I think a lot of people thought they were going to do that, and they really were just kind of be able to hang in and make smart moves on the margin to really help them out. So I don't think there's any question they plan on competing this year. I think Bumgarner and Marte clearly shows that. So they'll add, no question, if they're able to. But if, you know, you look at the Diamondbacks, kind of an older team for a team. Like, if you look, they got a lot of guys in their late 20s and their 30s. For a team that still hasn't necessarily won a lot and has been kind of reconstructing on the fly a little bit, you almost wonder if there's more downside to them than maybe upside, at least from the current roster.
Now, let's move to the Rockies. And there's a lot of question marks here. I don't think in terms of if they'll be good enough to win games or if they'll be at the top of this division, because I don't think anybody believes that. But a lot of question marks surrounding their star player, Nolan Arenado. They've been in a kind of a back and forth. Nolan seems to say that he's willing to move on. But in my experience, you have these type of disagreements. They don't usually end with the player staying. What's the plan for Colorado at this point?
Yeah, it's a mess. And, you know, clearly there's been a breakdown in communication with the general manager and with the players in a way where with the player and Arenado in a way that, generally speaking, it's really hard to repair those breaches. And I think everyone's saying the right thing now, but I mean, it has literally been less than a year since he signed that extension.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think and to me, to see this much discord already. And remember, the Rockies had made the playoffs for two consecutive years going into last year. You can see what Arenado was thinking in the idea of signing that. To me, the problem, though, is really not so much whether the Rockies will be forced to make a move on Arenado. The problem is the way Arenado's contract is structured. We saw this with some of the teams like the Braves or the Cardinals that may have been in on him in the offseason. They were very, very wary because they didn't know exactly what you were going to get from Arenado because he's got that opt-out out after 2 years, which was meant to get him out of Colorado if he needed to, not to get him out of a new team. So they're a mess over there, and I really don't see a lot of ways out of it because you're not just – obviously, Arenado is good. Trevor Story is a terrific player, so I think it gets lost a little bit. And there's other good stuff on this team, but, you know, pretty much every move they've made the last couple of years that have come from outside the organization – has kind of blown up on him. I thought Daniel Murphy was going to be fantastic for that team last year. That didn't really work out. The bullpen signings, the big, we're going to get all these bullpen guys and this is going to fix our bullpen, have blown up in their face as much as a series of moves can blow up in their face. I mean, the idea that Wade Davis, who had almost a 9 ERA last year, is still penciled in as their closer. That's a bad spot. So on one hand, I understand if I'm Arenado, I'm looking at this team and thinking I'm farther away from a playoff spot than I've ever been. On the other hand, he did sign that big contract last year and does have those opt-outs. Whatever as bad a situation as he has with his general manager, it's a really tough deal to trade right now.
No doubt about it. I think it's no need to go over to Giants. We know exactly where they're at. So let's move to the Padres. Went out and made, I thought, some pretty significant moves in terms of just having a better team on the field this year. And you have them winning 86 games. Now, I would guess that is largely going to hinge on what this starting rotation does.
I think so. You know, you've seen there's strength in here, right? Like, there's definitely upside. Like, one of the things the Padres have been very smart about, and, you know, I know it's frustrating at the time when you have these young pitchers that are really talented. You want to let them loose, right? You want to just let them run crazy and pitch as much as they can because they're your best pitchers. Part of my theory in picking 86 wins is I think this is the year that this is what you were waiting for when you made those decisions with a guy like LeMond or a guy like Paddock or guys who can really be let loose a little bit more. There's obviously a lot of talent, a lot of guys there. But, you know, really the thing for me with the Padres, and I think the thing you're really counting on, is getting guys like you have Fernando Tatis Jr. And this
right.
is, to me, like we did a series on MLB.com earlier this year where they asked all the writers to pick the one player you would want to watch. Just like if you only watch one player, it's like one of those cameras you see at an NBA game where they just put on LeBron for a whole game. I really feel like Tatis Jr. is that guy. And I think the defense, I know we've seen the skills that he has, some of the incredible plays he had. You guys have also, we've all seen also some of the kind of messing up some of the easy plays and so on.
Yeah.
To me, there's so much talent there and really so much talent all around this team. There's so, like, there's such importance for the Padres this year, as you guys well know. You know, the idea that it's been so long since they've really broken through. Preller has had a long time to be able to construct this roster. This is the year he's got to make it happen. To me, the really, really smart move, and I think a very underappreciated move throughout baseball, is trading for Tommy Pham.
Yeah,
Tommy
yeah.
Pham is, as someone, you know, I've covered the Cardinals for a long time and watched him kind of come up. He not only is the on-base guy that the team really needed, there's something about Pham that I know that he's outspoken, and I'm sure sometimes probably the front office will get a little frustrated by him. But as a player and as an influence on the players around him, famously, players love to train with him in the offseason because
yeah.
he's so kind of intense.
That's what I've heard.
In that regard, Pham, I think, is a really – for an outfield that's got some shifting spots, Pham locked into one of those spots, I think that is one of the more underappreciated moves of the winter, and one I think makes a lot of sense for a team like the Padres.
Yeah, there's four spots locked down right now. Posmer, Tatis, Machado, and Pham. And everybody I've talked to says the same thing about Tommy Pham. He's the most intense, but he's going to get the most out of his teammates, and I think that's exactly what the Padres need. Will Leach, MLB.com, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on, Will.
Of course. Should be a fun season. Enjoy the spring training game tomorrow. We're all happy to see those back.